This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. What is the one reason that you're excited about the Mavs season? Now, it could go in any different number of directions. I'm going to tell you this. My answer, not Luka. But...
Hater. You always hated that guy.
Yep. You always want to try.
Why don't you just... What? No.
He wanted DeAndre Ayton.
No.
Yep.
I said Luka is the best player in this draft.
Who was the kid from Duke that went to the Kings?
Lefty Magoo?
Bagley.
Yeah, that's who you wanted.
Starvin Marvin Bagley.
No, not Starvin Marvin Bagley.
He's the next.
Starvin Marvin.
Danny Ferry. I don't know.
All right, so well, at least hear my answer out before you crap all over it. Mm-hmm. One reason to be excited about the Mavs season, what is yours? All right, I hope this makes sense. This roster that the Mavericks have is better than the NBA Finals team.
Is this roster better than the championship team?
Ooh, I'd have to think more about that just because of how different they are.
I think that's worth conversation for sure, because I don't know.
It's crazy that it doesn't seem that long ago, but it's a totally different sport.
Yes,
now.
Exactly.
Oh, you're right about
that,
too.
It's 14 years ago, too. Yeah.
You didn't have a player that had what Kyrie Irving has on that team by any means, let alone Luka. You had Dirk, which was very unique. So when you say better than last year's team, yes, I agree.
And that's my number one reason. Like, obviously, I understand if a lot of people say Luka. That makes all the sense in the world to me. But to me... We've seen Luka be the man and still struggle because the pieces around him were not very good. So I'm excited that this roster on paper, always got to qualify it with on paper, looks like a better roster than the team that just made it to the NBA Finals.
I agree with you there. Doesn't mean you're going to make it to the NBA Finals.
True.
But I think the great thing about this question is you could probably have seven or eight answers.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That's what we're doing. That's
practice. I guess it's regular season. But I'm wondering, can this team take the defensive philosophy that happened after the trade deadline, where right or wrong, right? I'm not a Gilbert Arenas fan at all, but I've watched some of his stuff. Like, he's like, this is a joke. This is the worst defense in the NBA. And I'm like, they're in the NBA Finals, Nimrod.
Yeah.
Like, you can say, like, Boston has a way better defense or this and that, but they've done something to make the NBA Finals. I get they're getting killed by Boston right now, but don't tell me they're not good. The stats, and he's like, stats don't mean anything. And they don't mean everything, but they do mean something. Can the Mavs this year be a top 5 to 7 defensive team all year? Last year, they were considered by statistical measures the best the last, I don't know, 8 weeks of the season.
Yes.
Can they consistently be considered throughout the year? Hey, this is a really good team. Are they better than Boston? Maybe not. Are they better than Oklahoma City? Question mark. But like, can they be in the conversation of like, I'm telling you, that's a good defensive team. To me, that's a very interesting thing with Luka and Kyrie and Klay Thompson. Can they be a really good defensive team?
Yeah, can they defend 5? And I'm not saying the five position, but can they defend five? That's what Boston does. They defend five.
Yeah.
And they can do it very well. Kevin, I have two. I have one that I'm very excited about, and then one thing that I hope happens.
Okay.
Can I? Which one would you like first?
The excited one.
Lobs. There's going to be so sure. many lobs.
Agreed.
Lively, Gafford, PJ Washington even. Like, there's just going to be... That was exciting last year. Now, Derek Jones Jr. was part of it, too. What was it? Takeoff 55 or whatever, Flight 55. Like, that was a blast. But just knowing that every guy on the court knows that they can just toss the ball up near the rim and Derek Lively and Gafford are probably going to put it down is exciting as hell because... That generates points when you're not getting points. Now, it's Mike's pointed out, it's easy to take away a lot of times in the playoffs, but it can be a thing that excites your team in games too whenever you need it the most. So that right there is the thing I'm most excited about because the lob game with those two guys is a blast. The one thing I hope happens that we get one night where Clay gets 15. His record, the
15
record,
three-pointers?
The record is 14.
Okay.
But because I think he's going to have a night where he'll have a night where he's so wide open and he's just in his place, he's in the zone, the basket's the size of a trash can, he's got a tennis ball in his hand, and he's just like over and over and over. I think they'll have one of those nights that I'm hoping for we can get 15.
Okay. So what's really interesting about that...
Those both offensive things.
I wanted to throw out... This and I saw this on Bleacher Report. It was one question for every NBA team. And the question for the Mavericks kind of aligns with the last thing you were just talking about. Can they keep perspective? I feel like I've talked about this a couple of times, and people can agree, not agree. I'm just telling you. I think Klay Thompson is going to be fine in the regular season. And the idea is going to be, not to sound too much like Jerry, like we're saving him.
He wasn't good enough.
No, not that we're saving him. But Klay Thompson has a lot of postseason success to his name. And I wonder if the Mavs fan base is going to keep perspective on a Klay Thompson who looks fine with the hope of he can turn it on some more in the playoffs.
Mike, then if where he's going with that, I hope that you can help us with this. Because he's replacing Tim Hardaway Jr., right?
For the most part, yeah.
So, like, that's what just every, whenever people are like, oh, Clay's not this, remind them what Tim Hardaway Jr. was compared to what Clay is. And if they're the same, then we can be like, well, we didn't get anything different.
I'll but tell you if, what's if weird is I think Tim Hardaway Jr. has more confidence shooting a basketball than Klay Thompson.
Not earned confidence, but confidence nonetheless.
He's like, yes. I'm taking this shot. And so like that's the thing, Kevin, is if we can just remind ourselves, did we get about 2% better from this, or are we more efficient as a team offensively?
Agreed.
So I'm with the Klay Thompson thing. Like I said last week, I think it was last week, just give him at least 10 games before making a complete and total decision on this was a horrible idea or not. And I'm not even saying 10 games is enough, but at least let's watch 10 regular season games to see how he kind of fits in. And I do think it will take time. I was watching NBA.com or NBA TV, sorry, NBA TV. And they're like, look, this is going to take him some time. I'm forgetting which former NBA player was talking about this. But he's like, he has only played in one system his whole life, and he's going to a completely different system. This is nothing like the Golden State Warriors. They said they might put in a few things similar to the Warriors to try to help out Klay at times to get him a rhythm shot that he's used to in his career. But this is going to be such a different style that they're like, to your point, Kevin, they were even saying, I think it was Vince Carter saying this. And Vince played with, I don't know, at the end of his career, he might have played with all 30 NBA teams. But like he was just saying that it takes time, especially when you're only used to one style, one system, to go to a completely different style, completely different system with completely different teammates to really learn your role and how you're going to fit in. So he's like, it's going to take him time, but he thinks also in the end, Klay is going to figure out, and he said about halfway through the season is probably when Klay is going to feel really comfortable in this system.
And not surprisingly, from the 214, from the 903, getting to see Klay prove the haters wrong that he isn't washed now is the thing that they're most excited about this season. We get the obligatory Dwight Powell from the 817. We have a couple of votes for just not seeing Tim Hardaway Jr., which is interesting.
I guess the thing that's not as exciting as it should be, but Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes are pieces that you can definitely get excited about because of the element that they add to this team.
Who are we going to hate? Tim Hardaway Jr. was a very polarizing
requirement? Dwight Powell,
yes, on every team. Okay. Think about this. Okay. On every team, there's a guy that's it's your team, and you want him to do well, but he frustrates the living crap out of you. There's just that guy on your team, and you're like, I want him to be better. I want him to be like this, but whether it was you loved Joey Gallo or you hated Joey Gallo because of what he brought to your team. And you bring in this really last year, Aroldis Chapman. I mean, how polarizing, like you won the championship, but I can't stand that guy. Don't put him in, you know? And it's like, but he just got Yordan Alvarez out yesterday. Like that was a bit, you know, like there.
I'm with you.
And I'm not saying I'm trying to defend whoever right now, but right now, you moved Tim Hardaway Jr. You moved Josh Green, who was a crazy-ass player who at times was awesome for you and at times devastating for you. And then Dwight Powell is on the team still, but he's not. He doesn't have a role on the team. He's not going to play. Who's the guy that – is it Najee Marshall? Is it Quentin Grimes? Is it – because you bring in guys from other teams, and you're just like, hey, I thought you were supposed to be better than this. I thought you were supposed to be for Najee Marshall. I thought you were supposed to be our guy that took over for Derrick Jones Jr. and was different but as good or better, you know? So I'm wondering what guy 20 games in are we going to be like, can we take him out of the rotation?
You make it sound inevitable that it will kind of boil down to one of those two then.
No, it could be Jaden Hardy.
I was just about to ask about Hardy. Him and Omax, what steps can they take? I don't think Omax
is going to play unless there's injuries.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what if he's a wasted pick or if he's...
I think he's a tradable piece to maybe add something.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
in February. And I'm not saying you will, but I do think he starts getting into like, hey, we don't have first round picks to trade, but we do have this guy and Jaden Hardy. And I'm not saying you're trying to move those guys, but if there's something missing or you feel like you need something else, I just don't see how Omax gets any time unless there's injuries.
Yeah. With Hardy, like, you just know he's going into the game to be an offensive burst.
Yes.
Whether it's just running as fast as he can to the basket, which he did pretty well.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Be confident taking your threes, but he can score.
I'm excited to see this, and they did not do it in the preseason, so I don't know. This goes to Kevin and the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that Gafford and Lively actually do play 3 to 5 minutes in a game together early just to see if there is any type of chemistry when you have two big guys on the court? Or do you go, we're not even trying it? I will give Jason Kidd this credit. It's weird. It seems like he doesn't care at all about the regular season and will maybe try things that you're like, hey, why don't we try to win this game right now? And he's like, I don't care about winning in the regular season. I care about really getting ready for the postseason, and I feel like you want to get a top three seed this year. But does he want to see this year in a regular season game, especially early on, can I play Gafford and Lively together, and does it give the other team fits when they're trying to score on us?
I think it's going to happen. I'm not promising the effectiveness of it. I think it is going to happen. It would be a short amount of time, but I think that that is going to happen from the 214. So Mike is telling us he needs a Magoo to dislike. From another 214, PJ Washington is the player that I'm excited about this season.
Good. Yeah, I am too.
I love PJ.
I feel like for PJ, I'm at the point, even watching that little preseason I watched, I kind of feel like he is who he is he's going to give you a game with 22 and he's going to give you a game with 4 points. It's going to equal out to 13 to 14 points a game. It's just not a consistent around his average that he gives you.
Doesn't feel like he's not going to try defensively, though. Right. And that's something I really like about
him. Solid rebounder, boxes out, plays the game the right way. Good role player.
Great size, too, for what he does.
I'm going to put you guys to the test when it comes to that 13 to 14 that you said. Over under points per game for PJ Washington this year is 13.5.
Oh, is that the real number?
And last year he had 13. So, Mike,
for both teams?
Good question. I think it was for both teams.
I think that number's down probably if it's the Mavs.
It was for both teams. For the Mavs, it was 11.7.
Okay, I would say closer to that.
Okay, so you're going to take the under?
Yeah, I'll say barely under. I would love... See, here's the deal. It goes back to our conversation earlier is... If you can get Luka to not want to score so much and set up his guys, and hey, man, score as much as you want late in the game. I need you late. But he loves getting 20 in the first quarter. Well, if he's getting, let's get his average to more normal, 13 in the first quarter, which is kind of an average for Luka in the first quarter. Well, the starters then, if you're going to score 30, that leaves you 17 points for the rest of the team in the first quarter. So that does hurt guys like PJ Washington. I would love to see him around the 13, but I think that would mean for Luka, he really believes I don't need to score 10 to 20 points in the first quarter.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we were going to do this on Friday. It didn't happen. I'm very excited about this segment. It's time for the Combo Platter, movie you still love no matter what. Give us a sports opinion, and then what is a movie you still love even though... it might not hold up, or it might not age well with societal norms. 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-2. Swung on, a high fly to right. Soto is there. Juan Soto makes the catch. Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for a combo platter. Give us a sports opinion and then movie that you love no matter what. Maybe it doesn't actually hold up anymore, or maybe it does not fit in the modern day culture. This is a great example that I know Corey likes to dump on this movie. Sports opinion. Kyrie is in more danger of regression for the Mavs than Klay is. And man, I watched The Goonies this weekend, and the acting in that movie is awful.
But how many great actors came out of that movie, except for Corey Feldman? Like, there's so many great actors in that movie.
What movie?
Goonies.
And the guy who played Baby Ruth, he didn't do much after that, I don't think.
You mean the...
The Sloth or whatever it is. I don't know his name.
I have no clue.
I mean, I you know who he's talking about,
I know,
right?
But I don't know who...
Baby Ruth?
No, okay. You know what? Actually, I thought that voice from you was going to be a lot worse, so okay. I accept that. All right.
John Matuszak.
He's a football player, right?
Mashoda?
Matuszak.
No, not John Mashoda. All right. Who would like to start?
I can do this.
Okay.
By the way, Jerry Jones is confirmed for tomorrow, Kevin, with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton without RJ.
Are they going to tell Jared not to ask any questions?
I think Jared's leaving before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But yeah,
that's
so right. he is confirmed.
Ooh, lordy.
Will you, do you expect fireworks?
Yes.
Or do you expect duds?
I'll be tuned in at 8:30. I do think it's going to be something.
Drama. Sports opinion question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to go with my opinion instead. I continue on the Joe Mazzulla is the craziest person I know. When asked, what kind of pressure are the Celtics feeling this season? Joe Mazzulla said, zero, no pressure. We're all going to be dead soon, and it really doesn't matter anymore. So zero pressure. You're either going to win or you're not. It's not pressure. It's an opportunity.
Good God. I like it.
We're all so going to die.
That's the kind of intensity that I need out there.
We're all going to be dead, so it doesn't even matter.
I mean, he makes a good point. Yes, good point. Exactly.
So, but he's still the craziest, and good luck to everybody going up against Joe Mazzulla in the future. So, I stand by this. I still think it's an entertaining movie. The script was really well done, but it wouldn't last like right now. Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. I have actually seen that one already pop up.
Okay. Here's the reason.
Because modern sensitivities would not care for this.
And they say things in that movie that you just shouldn't say. I mean, absolutely shouldn't say. But Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder were phenomenal in these roles. I think Gene Wilder is actually a far better actor than a lot of people give him credit for, because his serious stuff with his comedy is just really good. But Cleavon Little, he was in that movie, and I think they wanted Richard Pryor. But Richard Pryor wrote Mongo. He wrote the character Mongo in that movie, and Mel Brooks wrote Cleavon Little's stuff. So it was kind of a complete swap, but the racial stuff in that movie it goes too far. The movie still has really good comedy that was really well done.
Now, this is interesting because I'll reveal an opinion that I hope it makes sense to everyone. From the 903, sports opinion, Jerry Jones is a horrible GM, and ladybugs, because you can't have boys dressing up to compete against girls. I still think...
Is that where it all starts?
You should be able to represent those sort of negative things in movies as long as they're painted as representative. Like... Sometimes you'll see some character just say the worst things, and I'm like, yeah, because he's the bad guy that everybody hates.
You have to hate him.
You're not painting him as a hero or her. And this is the same thing. Is like, I get their point for sure, and that probably wouldn't fly today, but it is portrayed in that movie as you shouldn't have done that. That was wrong.
I'm glad that you asked this question to our guest on Friday, by the way, because you asked the same question to him, and he was like, do not watch Cheap Thrills with your family. But I stand by
Did you
by
watch
that.
It
I've not,
without
I've
your
not,
family?
I'm not, well, because the family was around the whole week. So
From the 214, Clay is going to go for 20 points per game this season. And Weird Science. Is it because he gets turned into a poo monster?
I watched that movie again. Oh, that's not the... What?
Right?
That's not the reason you watch Weird Science.
No, I'm saying, is it not like... Would it be against today's standards?
Oh,
because the guy who goes, game over, man.
There was some weird stuff in that movie.
I remember that movie, but don't remember that movie. They put bras on their head and they made like a perfect woman or something.
Yes.
And
Kelly LeBrock was.
Yes.
Absolute. What year was that movie?
85.
I was four. Oh my gosh, I was 4 years.
Have you watched it before, Corey? Have you watched that movie?
Yes, I have seen that movie. I used to watch it a lot,
but it has to be at least 30 years ago, so I can't remember the whole poop thing that you're talking about.
And now I see some people saying, "Oh, you know, this movie stands up, that movie stands up." That's fine. But what I want to know is, what's the movie that you still love, even though it probably doesn't stand up, or you shouldn't be watching it under... Like, I still am not sure if I should watch Usual Suspects, but, you know, that's because of a specific individual as opposed to issues with the movie itself.
I knew it was him all along.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, about Kaiser Soze, not about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm not sure if
I've ever watched that movie.
You might like it. It's very, very good. All right. I'm going to throw mine out there. I'm ready to make this commitment. I'm ready to have my heart broken.
Before you do that, though, Kevin.
Oh, my gosh.
Weird Science. I want to go back to Weird Science. Okay. Did you ever see the USA show Weird Science?
Yes, I did.
I loved it.
Because it had an invention that I still think about to this day. The remote control that can control time. Now, I know you might be thinking about that just god-awful abomination of a movie that Adam Sandler made.
Click.
Called Click, which is just awful. This Weird Science TV show came out many, many years before Click, and they tell you the pitfalls that come along with this. But also, while I've been watching horror movies, I always think, oh crap, the killer's in the house. Could I just push pause on my remote control?
That's a great
and
question.
Then I'd be set to go.
I really like Vanessa Angel too. Like
she was in Kingpin. She's very pretty. My sports opinion, it's going to happen. The Dallas Stars are going to win the Stanley Cup. I've seen enough. We'll talk more about it throughout the year, but I've seen enough.
They beat Edmonton on a day game.
He didn't even want them to win the
Edmonton
first game.
Edmonton went 0-42 to start the year last year and still made it to the finals.
I think we'll have to fact check that. But the young players are already stepping up. Well, we'll go back into that again tomorrow, but I'm going to play you something from cut number 20. This is a movie called Legend. Now, I don't want you to confuse it with I Am Legend, the Will Smith movie. This is a movie from 1986 that I loved, and I thought the soundtrack was awesome, and Mia Sara from Ferris Bueller's in it. But it's about like a unicorn gets its horn cut off, and then the Lord of Darkness is going to take over the world. Look, just listen to part of this.
You summoned me, Lord Chip.
That's not auto-tune.
Are you not the most loathsome of my goblins?
Truly, Master.
And is your heart black and full of hate?
All right.
Is that Tom Cruise?
No. Oh, yes. That's not Tom Cruise who was talking
but
in
he's
that scene.
In, he's
yes. Tom Cruise is the star of this movie because he has to get along with the little people and the...
He's short.
That's true. And the fairy to overthrow the Lord of Darkness so that the earth is not plunged into eternal night. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds really stupid.
No, you don't
fair.
Know anything.
To this day, I cannot convince my wife or oldest son to watch this movie. This is my son.
I wouldn't either.
And the person who pledged their life to me is like, I will pledge my life to you, but I will not watch this stupid movie you're talking about.
I won't watch that movie either.
Soundtrack is fire. I still love that movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, it was Tim Curry. Okay.
You've seen it.
It was my... I don't remember if it was popular at the time.
Mia Sara.
Yeah. She's very pretty.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Yeah. That still holds up, by the way.
I mean, none of it actually happened, but you're right. Like, Cameron's really friends with those popular kids. Get out of here. All right, Mike, would you like to go? Would you like us to pass it to Alec?
I have a sports opinion.
Okay.
I was listening to The Weeknd with Will Chambers and Chris Arnold here. Not like the whole show, but when I was in the car.
You can listen to the whole show, though. I think it's a good thing to do with you.
But they were going over the Cowboys schedule, and they're like, at best, they're going to win 7 games. Remember, I am not a Cowboys fan. I am not rooting for the Cowboys or optimistic Cowboys guy. I think this last game, the 47-9 game, has Cowboy fans way too extreme on how bad this Cowboys team is. They're average. They are going to still have a chance to win 10 games. Would I bet on them winning 10 games? No. But I think they're going to win 8 at least. And they were like 7 at best. I don't need to go over the whole schedule, but they're not Cowboy fans. Remember, I'm not with you anymore. But they're not that bad. They're not good. I'm not trying to tell you the Cowboys are good. But 3-3 is about who they are. And I think they're kind of a 50-50 kind of win-loss team the rest of the way. Does that get them to 9-8? Does that put them at 8-9? But I just, when they were going over it, I think they're giving way too much credit to like the Bengals or the Buccaneers or when the Cowboys play the last game of the year. Now, maybe nothing's on the line for the Dallas. I don't know. But home against the Commanders. I get it. I get that this is not a great football team and they are going to do nothing if they make the playoffs. But I think that we need to slow down on how bad this Cowboys team is. So from the guy who craps on the Cowboys the most, supposedly, I'm telling you, they're not as bad as 47-9, or they're not as bad as, was it 28-3 to start off? I get it. They're not good, but they're not as bad as we want to make them out to be.
Okay.
All right. And my movie that I still think people like, and obviously it had a little bit of like comeback to it when they did Cobra Kai. I think The Karate Kid, I will watch that every time, and I don't care. They're trying to put Daniel in a body bag. They can't do it because Mr. Miyagi has taught him better. And he has Elizabeth Shue saying, "You're the best, Daniel."
And then
come on. Like, The Karate Kid is a great movie. No matter what, no matter if people say it doesn't hold up or whatever, he got taught by a maintenance man how to be the best karate kid there was.
A bonsai keeper.
Yeah.
That being, dude, we went and saw the apartment that he grew up in.
It looks exactly like the movie.
It was awesome.
And then this year, next year, we're going to go to the dojo.
Hell yeah, we are.
It's
a good point.
I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
All right, Alec, a lot of feedback coming in. But what do you got for us?
Sports opinion, I don't care if they lost to the Lions yesterday. I've still seen enough from the Minnesota Vikings and Sammy D to think that they're legit. And the way that their defense stepped up in that second half, after Detroit really started finding their rhythm, David Montgomery comes back into the game. Jahmyr Gibbs is starting to find some wide open lanes. Brian Flores was able to dial in that defense. They get that scoop and score to completely flip the game upside down. Just a little bit of unfortunate luck at the end of the game to lose that game. I think they were probably the better team in that game.
I could see that.
I'm going to pull the Tolo text and say they ran out of time. They ran out of time. They just didn't have enough time to win that game.
Okay.
So I think they're legit. I still think they're going to be really fun for the rest of the season. Sam Darnold has been fantastic. A movie that I enjoy, even though I don't think it's great in general, for one, but I still love it, and two, it really doesn't hold up with societal norms and whatnot. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Love it.
Still
love it.
It's portrayal of certain ethnicities.
They're from
and
a
races.
Different country. Look at the crazy food they eat. That's a big chunk of that movie.
Exactly.
I get bored with the first 20 minutes and turn it off every time.
Oh, when they're dancing around.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is boring.
And all in all, I don't think it's that great of a movie, but I just loved it as a kid. I love the entire Indiana Jones series, but obviously it has that super memorable performance from Kihoi Kwan.
Now an Oscar winner.
Exactly. So that's where it started. It was meh 40 years ago, but, I'd say even more so now. It's even more meh, but very questionable decisions made in that movie. But I just love the franchise, so I can't hate it.
It is super weird that George Lucas was going through a divorce and he's like, all right, in this one, the bad guy will literally take your heart out of your chest. And Steven Spielberg's probably there like, hey, what? you can't tone it down a little bit? And he's like, nope. That's
reach your fingertips in and just push and then remove the heart.
That's what we're going
with. Or check your soil.
From the 817 Sports Opinion, Texas will beat Texas A&M for the SEC title. Not going to lie, if A&M is in that position, I could probably live with that. And the movie is American Beauty. Man, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that probably doesn't fly anymore.
You know,
right?
How they'll show, hey, watch Max because all these movies.
Yeah.
And then there's that one scene of what's her name in the roses?
Nina Suvari.
And Carter was walking through and was like, oh my gosh, what are y'all watching? And I was like, it's a long story. Yeah, you can't watch the movie. So
all right, so stuff that's in that movie. And stuff that's coming out in the world of Hollywood and like the world of entertainment. You know, like a lot of those things you think, wow, we think are crazy, but it seems like it was pretty common with those people.
Yeah. Mm. It's just another day.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, like, isn't still one of the biggest stars Leonardo DiCaprio? Couldn't he be like grandfather age to the people that he dates now? Same with, I know it's not quite Hollywood, but Bill Belichick. I think that's kind of weird that gets celebrated.
I saw somebody say surf ninjas, Kevin.
I have
but
not
they didn't give a sports opinion, okay. So I couldn't say. But Three Ninjas was awesome. And it's still, I still will watch that.
You mean Three Amigos.
Three Ninjas. But Three Amigos was great, too.
There's probably stuff in there.
Probably so.
That
I'll tell you what.
Anymore.
Watch Three Amigos like about 5 or 6 years ago. And I think it was on like a TNT or something. Still good.
Okay.
Maybe not as good as
good
I remember. I will say not as good as I remember, but still liked it. Still want to do the pelvic thrust.
Do you want to do it right now for the camera?
It was almost like Macarena.
You know what's interesting? Neither one of you stood up to really give the effect to the camera of that. Yeah. From the 612, Jerry Jones is going to make a blockbuster trade just to prove you guys wrong. That would be great. And Blues Brothers, I don't think you're supposed to watch that anymore. It feels like if there's a comedy in the 70s or 80s, that you're probably not supposed to watch it anymore because it has offensive things in it.
Like the sports opinion that person just gave. Why are we chasing a bad season, Cowboys? I just told you they're not bad. This is this is not close to a championship team. Don't trade future assets to help out a crap team like that's not going to, and I say crap, like I mean it as in they're not going to be Detroit or Green Bay or San Francisco's a little bit tough right now. They're not playing well, but I think you can see, Cowboy fans, this is not your year. So don't try to trade so you can maybe squeak into the playoffs to get hammered again by 20. Like it's just
I'm with you.
I've already said this, but Cowboy fans, if you really care about the future of this team, you should really go in the opposite direction and start talking about a few players you should trade to get future assets.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Oh man, from the 817, I have to make a confession about this. Cowboys should lose out because this ain't the year. Take the draft picks. And Monty Python and the Holy Grail is the movie they still love no matter what, and it holds up. I have to tell you something. I hate that movie, and I hate another movie because when I was in college, instead of like going out and being young people out in a college town, my friends are like, "Ah, man, you got to watch it. It's crazy." And I was like, I get it. They're like, "Hello. I've dressed like a lady." And it just felt like that was like most of
so it just got overhyped
the humor. Yeah.
With Tom
like
Hanks.
Napoleon Dynamite.
No, not Tom Hanks.
Bosom Buddies.
That
I loved that show. Unnecessarily loved that show too much. He was begging for her forgiveness and he got down on his knees and he was begging. And then he was like, "Look, I'm getting on my tongue. What else do I have to say?" He wanted her love so bad.
Do you think if you went back in time and you were watching that show with somebody and you're like, "Hey, one of these guys is going to become a 2-time Oscar winner and the most appreciated actors of the generation.
And cheer on the Dodgers in Game 6 of the 2024 NLCS.
All right.
They're going to show them a lot of times.
Right now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
All right. So I need to get to this today. I was going to do it Friday, ran out of time. Watching the Guardians play at home, the 3 games they played against the Yankees, here's what I was surprised with. I am, if you don't know, in your face, I am a former Cleveland, I say Indian, you can say Guardian, When I played there in 2001 and drafted in 1996, they were the Cleveland Indians. And this is where I'm going with this topic.
Okay.
If you, when they scan the stands, when there were big moments and they weren't trying to find a Yankee fan, or even if they were, people around them being a Cleveland fan, there was so much Chief Wahoo and Indian gear in the stands. And I know that, Corey, you've been to Cleveland over the last 5 years or so quite a bit. It was amazing to me, I guess, that they've been the Guardians now for 3 years. Yeah. It might be more than that, but I think this was their third year to be the Guardians. And it's like their fourth or fifth year to eliminate Chief Wahoo. So much Chief Wahoo, so much Indians gear. I just wonder, as a fan of a team that's been a name for almost 100 years, how mad they, like, they will not give up that they are the Indians when you look in the stands. And I just wonder, like, how it would be if we were here in the Metroplex. And I get it, we don't have a name that's like the Indians, even though if you go look over the history of the Cowboys, it's not really a good name.
Do you think that, do you think Cleveland could have kept its name if it had a different, like, mascot?
That's what people are, I guess, also saying. Like, if you just eliminated Chief Wahoo, is it still bad? Even though, look, I mean, Chief Wahoo is a, like, the logo is memorable. Yeah. I'll say it that way. Like, oh, I won't give my opinion on it, but I just wonder what it's like being a fan of a team for such a long time. Paul Wirth comes to mind with the Washington Redskins. Yes. I know that they are the Commanders now, but, like, if you're a fan of that team and grew up with that team being the name of, back to Cleveland, like, they are wearing a lot of Indians gear in the, it's like they refuse to buy the new gear. It's almost like they're trying to find, which they don't sell anymore, by the way. They're like, I don't care, I'll go to eBay and buy Mike Bassick's 1996 Indians, like, jacket or whatever to make sure that I am wearing Indians gear at this Cleveland playoff game.
Yeah, everything, whenever I've been there recently, everything has changed over to Guardians. There's a lot more brown stuff than anything, but it definitely does change over to Guardians. At the airport and all those locations that you'd look for something like that.
I wonder if 10 years from now, if Cleveland's in a playoff game against whoever, if you're still going to see a lot of Indians gear rather than Guardians gear.
Well, that's a good point, because maybe 15 years from now, there's going to be a bunch of kids that may have embraced this changeover because they're not as connected to what you were connected to because they just weren't around it.
I still think they shouldn't have named them the Guardians because you're almost like we want to still be the Indians, but we were told by some people that this is the worst thing going in our world today, so we need to change it. But they didn't change it enough. That's why, like, I don't get why they wouldn't have gone to the Spiders because it's totally different. And then you can have cool, like, there's no such thing as a Guardian. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
but they have that, those two tower statues on the bridge, and those are still the considered,
like,
Guardians.
It's like a G with almost, like, wings on it.
Yeah,
like,
it's people, a little weird.
Like, it's not really that great of a logo, so it's, people aren't really embracing it there. But anyways, it's over now. They're done. They're out of the playoffs. But I just wanted to bring that up, is, like, they are not giving up that name. And they're not giving up their logos.
Were you, I mean, I know this is the matchup that's best for baseball. Were you sad at all? Because, like,
I was hoping for a game 7 tonight.
Okay.
I was hoping that the Cleveland Yankees series could extend.
Yeah.
Because they were, the three games in Cleveland were just great games. It just so happened 2 out of 3, the Yankees won. And because they swept their 2 home games, it ended up only being 5 games. But those 3 games in Cleveland were awesome games. It's just unfortunate that the Yankees, because that series is closer than 4-1. At least it felt like
it. I agree.
It, because every game you're like, and I'll tell you, here's another thing that I think is really stupid. When they have, like, oh man, the Guardians are up 2-0 after 3 innings. The Guardians have an 80% chance of winning. And I'm like, no, they don't. I was like, there's a lot of baseball left. Have we not seen how Emmanuel Clase has pitched the last 2 games?
Yeah.
Like, I think that percentage tracker of who's going to win is the stupidest thing in all of sports. And because I was watching the True TV and they were explaining it. It takes into zero account the how the players are playing, who's left in the pitching, who's left pitching, who's coming up. So when you watch that in football, it's the same thing. They're not taking into account anything. All they're taking into account is what's the score and how much time is left in the game. Who's the quarterback? What's the history of the quarterbacks? How's the defense played all year? What's the history of all of that is not taken into account. What's taken into account is the score and how much time is left.
Okay.
That's the only the tracker of, can you believe they had a 95% chance of winning, or they only had a 5% chance of winning? It's all it's going off of is the history of sports. It's not going off of the history of these teams and their recent play. So just remember, the percentage is a pretty stupid percentage.
Can I ask a question too?
Yo.
Do you think the Mets captured something this playoff season, or do you think they can replicate it and do that again?
I like what you're asking. Here's the tough part. Philadelphia is going to be really good again. They just have a very talented team with guys in their prime. They have failed now the last 2 years. They should have beat Arizona to go to the World Series and didn't. They should have beat the Mets to go to the NLCS and they didn't. So maybe the Phillies have an issue. The Braves still made the playoffs. Austin Riley out. Acuna out. Spencer Strider out. You can go down. They had way more injuries than the Texas Rangers. Like, the Rangers did deal with injuries. I'm not going to tell you they didn't. The Braves dealt with the most injuries, I would say, in all of baseball this year, especially to key players, and they still won 89 or 90 games and made the playoffs. So I would say with the Braves and the Phillies being in their own division, it's going to be very tough. But maybe they did. You know, Pete Alonso's a free agent. They're going to need to bring him back, I think. They're going to need a lot of guys that stepped up more than they thought to kind of keep Vientos, guys like that. Like, is he really that good? Or did he just kind of become really great for an extended amount of time? And then he, not as bad as, like, he's a minor league player. I'm not saying that.
Turn back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, gotcha. But, like, just be an average player. And so I think the Mets have a lot of, like, can we compete and win this division with the Phillies and the Braves? I think the Marlins will be pathetic. And then the Nationals are an up-and-coming team.
That's right.
That's a team where you're like, I don't think they're ready for 2025 to win a playoff spot. But they're not bad anymore either. And if C.J. Abrams doesn't go casinoing all night long and he plays for, you know, their games, then they have a better chance.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Hits and misses, plus a former Olympian snowboarder who's accused of running a giant cocaine ring. Next to the Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at New Balance.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.